We are joined by a content machine, a podcast waiting to happen, the NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS, but it's only one of a million things that he does every single week. JLC, Jason Lockenfor, is my guest. Jason, how you doing on Monday morning after another big weekend?
Can't complain, brother. Always good having you in studio. Enjoyed kicking in a little bit yesterday. And don't act like you're not busy yourself, dude.
No, I'm not as busy as you. I got some things going on, but not like that. But it's good to be back. Good to have you back. All right, so New England goes out last night, Jason. They were absolutely smashed by the Broncos, 41-16. I know you were confident that the Patriots were going to win that game comfortably. So what did you make of what you saw from both those teams last night?
I mean, to me, it's vintage New England in that it wasn't necessarily – I mean, what, I think Tom Brady had like 100 passing yards at the half. It wasn't wasn't a tour de force. It wasn't they didn't play the perfect game. They didn't have their, you know, their perfect stuff. But they win going away because they exploited special teams. They made big plays when they had to. They didn't beat themselves, and they let the other team sort of implode. And, I mean, look, Brock Osweiler, he's made a lot of money. God love him. But they need to get a look at Paxton Lynch. I don't want to hear he's not mentally ready. I mean, the shoulder's been enough to practice for a few weeks now. There's people in the building who thought he should have been more in the equation even for week 10. They're going to have to make that switch. They're a team very much in transition. I didn't like the body language of their defense the last few weeks because it's starting to look like an impossible task because they're never going to get any run support to keep my lame baseball metaphors going. So, yeah, I kind of smelled that one coming. Osweiler actually functioned better than I thought he would for the meaningful part of that game, but the second half quickly became more or less obsolete. And, you know, Vance Joseph looks overwhelmed to me at times. You know, that was a sort of out there, outside the box pick by John Elway. And clearly he wanted a young coach who wasn't going to give him a whole lot of pushback. You know, he'd kind of gone through the wars with Fox and Kubiak a little bit. And he got what he wanted, but I just don't know that Vance Joseph was ready to be an NFL head coach. And I get the sense there's people in that building wondering as much now, as they still have a good portion of games to play and have quickly become non-competitive over the last month.
Jason Lockenfor joining us. You know, all of this brings to note also an absolute sledgehammer of a tweet that you laid down last night. Quote, Broncos have a lot more in common with the Giants than you would admit. Differences, Denver quarterback change coming sooner. A strong, strong tweet. So why don't we go to the Giants for a minute? We were both in New York over the weekend. The Giants are coming off a double-digit loss to the previously 0-9 49ers. Jason, I know they've had a ton of injuries, but how did they get this bad? Or how did things get this bad this quickly for a team with serious aspirations at the start of the year?
Yeah, I didn't see this coming, I have to admit. And I'm going to take the injuries out of it. This has been a horrendous year for injuries around the league. And they, you know, losing Odell Beckham, and I mean, I get all that, but they stunk before that. I mean, they had barely a pulse before, you know, when they did have Odell Beckham in the lineup. And in a year where there's so many bad teams, and you can't even beat the bad teams in a down year, when you came into the year thinking legitimately 10-11 wins again, you know, division's going to be tougher, but, you know, no reason we can't be in the thick of it. And you were out of it by Halloween almost. I don't have the answers, Jim, and I get the sense they don't have the answers. And, you know, things snowball, and it's easy to turn on a coach, especially, you know, a young coach who had a lot of success last year and everything kind of happened kind of easily for them. So I don't think Ben McAdoo has all the answers, but they've got a personnel problem. They've had a draft problem. They've had an offensive line problem. Look, they're going to have to blow that thing up at the end of the year. I get the sense that ownership is getting their mind around that, and I suspect they start thinking about, you know, alternatives sooner rather than later. It's just not in that family's DNA to fire people before Thanksgiving, you know, or even to fire people in season. And the concern there is that you're sending a message to that locker room, which clearly is displaying some unprofessional attributes, that, okay, we're going to acquiesce to you, and we'll fire this coach, and we'll give you what you want. They don't want to send that message. And I would just say this also. It's not just going to be the coach and the GM who's gone. You know, there's going to be a lot of guys who made a lot of money from them the last few years who are going to have to answer to ownership, and they might not like what they hear back.
CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfor joining us. Now, on top of that, you and I spoke yesterday on the NFL on CBS about the situation with Jerry Jones and the commissioner, Roger Goodell. What is the latest with their situation now, for those who don't know?
Yeah, I mean, look, there is certainly, you know, Jerry Jones versus the NFL at large and Roger Goodell in particular will be an ongoing battle. He's waging it, though, primarily as a PR battle and through the media. In terms of what he can actually do to affect change to a process that is pretty much at the finish line when it comes to Roger Goodell's contract, the answer is less than nothing. I mean, if he wants to go out there and sue them or for a case that wouldn't seem to have much merit because he himself authorized this process just a few months ago, and he was on board with it right up until Zeke Elliott got six games when he thought he was getting nothing.
Right.
You know, I guess he could go that route, but it's going to waste a lot of time, waste a lot of money. He's going to end up paying the NFL's legal fees because of it. And, you know, to the tune of you know, tens of millions of dollars. For what? And he's going to further alienate himself from his business partners who are already looking at him sort of askance and saying, what the hell got into you, dude? Like, you know, we're supposed to be kind of sort of in this together. You're the same guy who told Robert Kraft a few years ago, just take the hit, Bob. Just take the four games. Do it for the good of the league. Now you're freaking out over a running back to the point where you're threatening lawsuits against people. And I mean, he maybe has three other owners in his corner, tops. He needs 23 more. And it's funny, I did a radio show this morning, a different one, and somebody asked me, how's Roger Goodell going to mend fences? Roger Goodell's got 28 owners in his corner. What the hell is Jerry Jones going to do to mend fences? There's people in the league saying, hey, Stephen Jones, step up, because your dad is taking this, you know, too far.
Jason, looking forward to joining us. You know, you can see where Jerry is trying to solidify that power base and get more and more power, but it looks like he's bleeding badly and he's losing power, and I don't see how that goes his way. Now, before you go, the Rams had another absurd blowout yesterday. In fact, Jason, you do things before. You're the guy who starts early, so I'm not sure if you were there at that part of the meeting, but Boomer Esiason and some of the other guys were saying, what's it like in L.A.? Is there a lot of buzz for the Rams? And I said, believe it or not, there's not. There still isn't. There's more and more, but there's still not a lot of buzz. It's not a Rams town, but then they go out and they have another absurd blowout yesterday. They destroy the Texans. Now, you were out here in California during training camp.
Yeah.
You got a good look at what Sean McVay was building. What did you see then, and did you ever think that we'd be talking about the Rams being 7-2 with four straight double-digit wins?
I thought he was a rock star in the making. I thought he would do very good things with that offense immediately. I did not think they'd have one of the more productive, efficient, consistent offenses in the league. I did not think Jared Goff would be producing like this, and I certainly did not think that we would be pushing Thanksgiving talking about them as a viable one seed in the NFC. I thought, though, he would have a rookie year that would resonate. I didn't know that it would be completely historical, but I thought the foundation for a turnaround was in place and that he would become the face of that team and somebody who, you know, when he goes out to dinner with his girlfriend, turns up, you know, on TMZ or paparazzi. And it seems like a little bit of that's happening, and maybe that's the beginning of some sort of buzz or hype about them. And you know, maybe he becomes sort of the, you know, the cult of personality figure there, even more so than a Todd Gurley or a Jared Goff. But he's special. And enough people who've been in coaching a long time who've worked either above him or below him on staffs have been telling me since, you know, he was a not quite a quality control guy, but certainly by the time he was coaching tight ends in Washington. I mean, guys like Chris Cooley and London Fletcher, even then, you know, guys that had relationships from covering that team, you know, they would text you from time to time like, dude, you know, when you come to camp, you got to check out our tight ends coach. Like, this guy, he gets it. So, you know, kudos to the Rams for being willing to hire a guy that young. And, I really don't think you can overstate the presence of he and his staff on that team. And just their ability to install an offense and incubate a quarterback and do what they have to do to win each week compared to what was going on there with that prior staff, particularly in the offensive side of the ball.
When has anybody ever said, quote, dude, when you come here, check out our tight ends coach?
Well, do you know Cooley at all? Have you ever had Cooley on your
show? Oh, yeah, he's the best.
Cooley,
sure.
On your show?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris is good people. I think that's probably a fairly accurate, you know, paraphrase of a conversation or a tweet from like 10 years ago.
No, I don't even mean how he said it, but the fact that they're saying, don't check out the head coach or the O coordinator or the D coordinator. Man, we got this crazy quality control guy you got to meet, or we got this tight ends coach you got to meet. Speaking of Cooley, JLC, before you go, how is your Be More podcast doing? And if folks want to listen to it, what will they hear and where do they find it?
Thanks, buddy. You can find us at www.bmoshow.com if there's any displaced Baltimoreans, we call ourselves that affectionately, or Marylanders out there. Yeah, we focus on Baltimore stuff every week. My partner, Jerry Coleman, and I. Jerry Coleman is actually, you're one of his media idols, and he's been begging me to have you on the podcast forever. So maybe I officially extend that invitation. I don't know that you have any ties to Baltimore. Maybe you've been to Pemlico with the ponies or something, but we'll have to figure that out. But yeah, we're on iTunes, Be More Opinionated, and we don't have a guest for this week yet, Jim. I'm efforting one, so I wish I had. Go listen to our Buck Showalter interview from 2 weeks ago.
You should definitely listen to that. I love Buck. I'm a huge Buck guy. I'd have to bone up on my Baltimore stuff to be up to speed for that, but we might be able to make that happen. GLC, NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He also appears every single Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. GLC, thanks so much. You're the best.
Always my pleasure, brother. Thank you.
See you soon. Jason Lockenfora, my man grinds hard. I have nothing but respect for guys who work like that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Rome, real tough gig you guys have. They pay you to talk sports. We know. We get it. You're right. Period. No qualification. You are right. They pay morons like us to talk sports. It's an incredible job. It's the best job in the world, period. However, there are some people with these good jobs that work harder at it than other people with these good jobs. And I respect the guys that go hard.